Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Go to Joshua and chapter 14. Just by way of introduction, Joshua and chapter 14. We're going to read this morning in Joshua and then also back in the book of Numbers about an old man with some unfinished business. He's on the warpath. He won't quit. His name is Caleb. I think of some one-word descriptions of Caleb: relentless, focused, faithful, positive, uncompromising, soldier, leader, servant. Man, we need some Calebs in this world in which we live. It doesn't take a whole lot of Calebs for people to get in line and get the job done. In Joshua and chapter 14, stand with me, please. I'll read just two verses, maybe three. We'll have a word of prayer and we'll get right to it. Verse 1. And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers and of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses for the nine tribes and for the half tribe. Skip down to verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and said unto him, let me pause right there. Here's what's going on. They're dividing up the land. They're in the land of Canaan. But it ends, and Caleb and Joshua said, wait a minute. God made us a promise too. Our work is not done. Go to Joshua chapter 13 and verse 1. Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Now go back to chapter 15 and verse 6, 14 and verse 6. Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee and Kadesh Barnea. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. This introduction's been a little bit chopped up, but I pray, God, you'd take over. And Father, you'd speak to all of our hearts and you would challenge us, because there is land yet to inherit. There are souls yet to be reached. There are people that we are yet to minister to. Help us not to be ingrown. Help us not to be a people that we got our family saved and that's all that really matters. Oh, God, help us not to be that way. Give us the spirit of Caleb. This man was different. The Word of God tells us. God says he was different. And God, would you give us that kind of vision and that kind of energy and that kind of faithfulness here this morning? We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Go to Numbers in chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to do a lot of summarizing and get back to the book of Joshua. I've got 4 points I want to preach out of the book of Joshua. Things that I've never preached before. You touch topics, you preach the whole counsel of God. But these are some efforts that I have not made. I'm going to do my best to preach them this morning anew and afresh. Verse chapter 13 of Numbers and verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, now they're out of the land of Egypt. God has promised to them the land of Canaan. Moses and Joshua being the military leader, they're going to do things. They're going to follow their captain, the captain of the Lord's hosts. They're going to obey God. And so they send 12 spies into the land of Canaan to spy it out. Let me just do some summarizing. Again, verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. God has got big plans for Israel. God has a land that he's already prepared for them, and he is going to lead them into that land in a victorious fashion. Just like he led them out of the land of Egypt, he bared his mighty arm, the scripture says, and delivered them from 400 years of slavery, a great picture of salvation. Now they're going to enter into the land of Canaan, and God gives Israel some instructions. Go on down to verse 17. It's more than just getting saved. It's more than just getting delivered from the slavery, from the bondage of Egypt, from the slavery and the chains of sin. It's more than just getting your name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Look about you. There is a land to occupy. There's a land to be victorious over and to live for the glory of God. Verse 17, Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. And he said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land. What it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak or few or many. Get a little vision, get a little faith, maybe some courage, some faithfulness, and what could God do? Just think about that. Put that where we live. Let's apply it, because it's not enough that I would just exegete some scripture and share with you Bible without rightly dividing it and applying it to our lives. With just a little bit of faith and a little bit of vision and maybe some courage, some faithfulness, where you stick by the stuff, what could God get done in the eastern upper peninsula of Michigan? You may not like it because of the snow this time of year, but this is our land of Canaan. This is where we are right now. This is the land that flows with milk and honey. All metaphors. There are precious, precious souls that need to be reached and people that need to be told about Jesus. There's a church that Christ is going to build if we just have just a little bit of faith. Verse 18 says, see the land. What it is, the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what the cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, and whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. It says, so they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come unto Hamath. Verse 23, let's go down there. And they came to unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster. By the way, Hebron, that's where the giants live. That's what was promised to Caleb, where the giants live. Let me read on in verse 23. One cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. They brought fruit of the land back to Moses that was hard for them to describe. They took the cluster of grapes, put it on a staff, and one man had the staff on his shoulder, another man up front had the staff on his shoulder, and it bent between them, and they brought it back to Moses and said, the land flows with milk and honey. It is a rich land. God is so good. But there's fortress cities. And there are giants in the land. It's going to take some faith. By the way, our God specializes in those kind of victories where it looks like nothing can be done. And yet, if we just have a little bit of faith and a little bit of vision. So they tell how great the land is. And in verse 27, they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. God never said it was going to be easy. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome. Right away, Caleb says, wait a minute, don't get negative. I know there's going to be battles. But we worship the God of all gods. We worship the God of our fathers. We worship Jehovah God. We'll be well able. And then it came, verse 32, the other 10 spies, they brought an evil report. Verse 33, and there they saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sights as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight. We're just little people, and they're big warriors. They're big and they're bad. Verse 1 of chapter 14, just the first verse. Oh, I fibbed a little bit. I'm going to read more than one verse, all right? Verse 1. And all the children, all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Crybaby Christians. It wasn't supposed to be this way. It had been better if we stayed in Egypt. In fact, they said that. They wanted to go back to the world. They would rather live in slavery than fulfill the will of God for their lives. How many people are like that in the world today, in the church today? Just longing to go back to the land of Egypt and to be enslaved in their sin all over again, rather than stand up and live for God. Verse 2 says, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? They wanted the old life. And they said one to another, let us make us a captain and let us return to Egypt. Let's go back to the world. We don't want to fight. Praise God. Verse 6, Joshua and Caleb, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they rehearsed it again. It's an exceeding good land. Verse 7. Verse 8, a land which flows with milk and honey. And God repented himself that he had ever delivered Israel, and he was going to destroy them right now. But Moses is the intercessor here, and he prays out to God for mercy, and God shows his mercy. How many times I've let God down and he's showing me his mercy? Over and over again. How many times I tried to go back to the land of Egypt and God showed me his mercy? What a merciful, what a God that is full of grace. What a great God we serve. And you and I ought to be thankful for that. Now go down to verse 24. And I am done. Let me read 22. It's hard to summarize. 22 says this, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. They turn from the light. They turn from God leading in their lives. So they suffered the consequences. They did not go to hell. That's not what's said here. But they weren't able to enter into the land of promise. By the way, nor was Moses able to enter into it. This isn't a picture of people going to hell. No. After you're delivered from Egypt, you're delivered from Egypt. That's the grace of God. That is the mercy of God. But you may suffer consequences of your sin and never see the promised land. Never see and experience the abundant life here on this earth. Never know what it is to have great victories against all odds. Then verse 24. I took 12 minutes in this introduction, but I've got four things I want to share with you. Verse 24 says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Let me reword it by saying this. God says, you're all going to die in the wilderness. They will bury you in the sands of the wilderness. I'll continue to provide for you. You are still Israel. You are still my children, but you'll never see the promised land. But Joshua and Caleb, specifically verse 24, he says, Caleb, there's something different about Caleb. Joshua chapter 14. Let's just pick up reading right in the middle. Let's go, because I took so long. Let's pick up with verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord God. This is Caleb speaking here. He said, he just rehearses very quickly. We went into the promised land. We went into the land and searched it out like Moses commanded us to. And like good soldiers, we brought back the fruit of the land and we brought back the report to Moses. 10 of the spies brought back an evil report. They said, the land is everything God said it would be. It's that and more, but there are fortress cities. There are giants in the land. There's going to be blood spilled. I don't know that we were like grasshoppers in their sight. They looked on us and they disdained us. And there's no way we can humanly take those fortress cities, and especially Mount Hebron. There's no way it can humanly be done. And Moses and the children of Israel began to murmur, not Moses, and complain. And God saw it, and God heard it. By the way, God is omniscient. He not only hears what you say, he knows what you think. In fact, he's God. He knows what you think before you think it. He knows exactly who you are. He knows you better than you and I know myself. And man, if we've got a murmuring heart, we got to fix it. If we're people that just sit back and complain, we got to fix it. It says here that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Says it six times. Let me read it, verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet hath trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Now, in context, what Caleb's doing is he's rehearsing the people are inheriting the land, but Mount Hebron still has not been conquered. And so he stands up and says, wait a minute, God made me a promise too. And he knew it. He said, God made me a promise too. And it's Mount Hebron. And I know that's where the giants are. I know where I'm 85 years old now, but I know that God promised me that. And I'm going to claim God at his promise. And it says six times, he wholly followed the Lord. Let me explain to you what that phrase means in the Hebrew. It means he closed the gap between himself and God. He never got far from God. Man, may that be said of us. He never wandered. Wherever God went, he was with God. He made sure he was on God's side. He closed the gap. So if God's right there, Caleb did everything he could to stay close to God. He stayed close to the master. That was Caleb's testimony. Six times it says it here in this passage of scripture. Caleb followed God. That's it. I know that's not real deep, but Caleb followed God. And you may think, because you're not a preacher, God does not expect you to follow him. You may think, because you're not an evangelist, God doesn't really expect you to follow him. He does. He does. And Caleb wholly followed God. He closed the gap. He made sure he was close to God. He did everything he could to be close to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 19 and 20. Turn there if you would. 1 Corinthians 6 and verses 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye have not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are called of God. We have a calling from God. When we get born again, we become the temple of the Holy Spirit, and it is expected of us to stay as close to God as we can. Now, humanly speaking, that's impossible, but I have good news for you. God is right there for us every step of the way. Amen. He'll carry us when we need to be carried. He'll hear our prayers. He'll meet our every need. He'll provide for us not only in the wilderness, but in the taking of that mountain, in the besieging of those fortress cities of evil. God will be there for us. And the man who kneels before God can stand up to anything. Caleb wholly followed God. Back there in Joshua chapter 15 again. Look at verse 10. Caleb was strengthened by God. Oh, I do want us to look at this. If you would open your Bibles to 2 Timothy in chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Quickly as you can get there. And the last part of the... No, verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. Caleb finished well. It takes faith to start. It takes great faith to finish. That's kind of what this message is about this morning. Finish well. To stand up and to receive Christ as your Savior and to stand up and be counted for God, that's a wonderful thing. But it takes tenacity. It takes spiritual tenacity to finish well. A lot of people start. Very few people finish. Good thing we're saved by grace, isn't it? Amen. Yeah, but glory to God. Because there is such a thing as the backslider. There is such a thing as the person that was on fire for God for a while, and then he kind of gets, whatever, maybe he gets buffeted a little bit, gets beat up a little bit by the world. Maybe somebody disappoints him along the way, and they kind of throw in the towel, and they kind of coast, and they really don't accomplish anything for God. I want to, and I trust you to, finish well. Caleb finished well. Listen, he's going to be 85 years old when he charges that mountain. He leads the way. His strength was not abated. He said, I'm as strong as I was when I was 18. I'm as strong as I was when I was 40. Man, God has made me a promise. He knew what Deuteronomy said. He said, God made me a promise, and I'm claiming that promise. But not everybody finishes well. That's sad. Look at the Apostle Paul. He finished well. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. For I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I've finished my course, and I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. Paul said, I'm ready to go. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Then verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, and Cretans to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia. Paul here says, and I think I'm sure that there were tears shed when this was being penned. He said, Paul said, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to go home. I finished my course. I fought a good fight. I want to be able to say that. I've kept the faith. I finished well. But there's the cold reminder. Remember Demas? Timothy, remember Demas, our co-laborer in the faith? He's gone. Fell back in love with this world. Caleb finished well. Tammy sent me a picture. Yeah, Tammy. Tammy sent me a picture this week, and it was a Sunday night service, and a bunch of men were up here on the platform singing. I think I can vaguely remember. I don't know if I called out a certain age group or what, but there was men from that corner of the platform to this corner of the platform, about two deep, singing a special number. And as I looked at that picture, I counted six, there may have been seven, that are now in heaven. And it wasn't that long ago. And I looked at that picture several times, as a matter of fact. Life is so short. That's right. And life is so fragile. My granddaughter was with me in the car yesterday, drove down to the Detroit area for that basketball game. And I wanted to have this time with her, and I talked with her. And by the time we got done talking, I said, this might be kind of funny to hear, but if Jesus doesn't come real soon and I die, I want you to know one thing about your grandpa. She said, what's that? I want you to know that he loved Jesus with all his heart. Man, we don't have a lot of time. We need some Calebs. We need some people that are going to finish well. You know how easy it is to throw in the towel? Just quit, man. This is hard. Man, it's hard. Nobody told me there was going to be a battle, a fortress. Look at the size of that guy. You've got to be kidding. Nobody told us this was going to happen. God made us a bunch of promises. He didn't say anything about the battle. The fact is, had they just continued to follow God, they would have found out, and they did, those that did enter the promised land, God fought their every battle. Amen. As long as they leaned on him. Go back to Joshua in chapter 15 again. I got to make this quick. I got to make this real quick. I preach one point so far. Let me just kind of, I just kind of slide over the top of him. Now behold, the Lord hath kept me. This is Caleb saying, speaking. The Lord hath kept me alive. And he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Caleb was strengthened by God. Three G's for you preachers here. He wasn't afraid of the grasshoppers. He had no insecurity complex. There were giants in the land. We look like grasshoppers in their sight. So what? You compare that grasshopper to God. Compare that giant to God. That giant ain't nothing, right? That's exactly what Caleb was saying. So there were grasshoppers. There were giants. God had not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and of sound mind. And there was gray hair. He was old. He was 85 years of age. I'd love to have gray hair. He was old. Some of us have no hair at all. But that gray hair did not diminish his faith. Not one ounce. So I saw a t-shirt the other day. It said, little old ladies are just antique little girls. That's the right way to look at it. It is. I'm a classic. In my mind. I'm that 21-year-old classic. You know, just kind of gets better. No, the fact is, I don't have the energy I used to have. Caleb, I don't understand this other than God gave Caleb great strength. What God calls us to do, he is going to enable us to do. Build a church of 1,000 people. If God has called us to it, he will enable us. All it's going to take is some guts, a little bit of faith, a little bit of vision. Some faithfulness where we don't throw in the towel every time it starts to go uphill just a little bit. And I know sometimes it gets dark and you wonder what in the world's going on. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Caleb followed God. Caleb was strengthened by God. Caleb believed God. Verse 12, and now therefore give me this mountain. He's talking about Hebron. Wherefore the Lord spake in that day, and he heard us in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. What would make an 85-year-old man think he could charge a mountain and attack fortress cities and defeat giants that are in the land? Real quick, almost done. Turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy in chapter 1, verse 35. It's because Caleb had a personal promise from God. Caleb was standing on the promises. It says in verse 35, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. There it is again. Caleb is going to inherit the mountain. All the land that Caleb walked on when he was spying out the land, I've promised it to him. Simply put, Caleb believed God. Others saw giants, he saw God. Others saw walled cities, he saw cities in ruin. Others saw the dreadful enemy, he saw a defeated enemy. Others saw the mountain as an obstacle, he saw it as an inheritance to claim. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We need to be people of faith. One more thing I want to say. Look at verse 13. Verse 13. Back in Joshua in chapter 15. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. And Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. They renamed the city Hebron. I thought, why that name? You hear about Mount Hebron today. Why that name? It means fellowship. If you're wholly following the Lord, if you're strengthened by God, if you have faith and you believe God, you can enter into the fellowship that only God provides. It's not God's will for you to wander in the wilderness. It's not God's will for you to bounce through life from disappointment to disappointment and never knowing victory. How about you get a little vision? How about you get some faith? Understand what faithfulness is. Stand up for God. He'll strengthen you. He will enable you. An 85-year-old man on a mission. All the youngsters are following him. He's saying, I want that mountain. It belongs to me. God promised it to me. What did God promise you? What about the souls of men and women and children? There's nothing physically on this earth that we should need. Just God. The souls. We're talking about vision and building and doing more and having great harvest. The fact is, if Jesus comes this summer, if Jesus came this spring, if Jesus came, who knows, a few years from now, we may not ever see an 800-seat auditorium. We can't take that with us anyway. But we can take people, souls, eternal souls.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbc.org. www.fundamentalfaithonline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.